Our scripture lessons from the New Testament from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. This will be a very familiar passage to you. Hear now the word of the Lord. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The greatest of these is love. This is not an empty platitude, and it is not just any kind of love. This is God's steadfast covenant love that endures forever, bound to the one who gives his life for all. It is no accident that our Easter sermon series zeroes in on the marvelous character and qualities of God's love. This love is patient and kind. It is not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in the wrongdoing, but rather rejoices in the truth. It bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. This love wants the absolute best for others and binds us together in perfect harmony and unity. This love can get us through anything. As we said in worship last week, yes, we want to be clothed in this type of love. Why, we may ask, is love the greatest of these three, faith, hope, and love? After all, faith, hope, and love are forever intertwined and woven together. Jesus himself calls us to each of these, to all of these. Let's work our way there as Paul does. Now, if we read more of this letter, we realize that Paul is very passionate about the situation in Corinth. He recognizes that there is a lot at stake. In fact, he believes the situation is so significant that their existence and the very future of this church is on the line. Naturally, this community is near and dear to Paul. He planted this church. He loves these people. But he is up against some fierce odds to bring about lasting change. Greek culture, Roman rule, big commerce, pagan temples, cults, idols, lots of injustices, and a lot of competing philosophies. Add to this a culture that values knowledge above all else, the kind of knowledge that puffs up, the lofty kind, at the expense of relationships, especially loving relationships. Perhaps all of this contributed to the trouble and confusion that ensued. And finally, someone in the church wrote to him saying, "Help, help, things are going terribly awry." Ironically, their pridefulness about spiritual gifts and their high regard for knowledge are some of the main things that are beginning to work against them. And Paul says, no, this is not how things work. You have forgotten the most important and enduring thing of all, love. None of these other things even matter apart from love. They are nothing but a clanging gong or cymbal. Let all you do be in love, in the character of God's love. Let's get very personal for a moment. None of us really knows ourselves apart from God, or apart from being in relationship with other people. And what I mean by that is that it is easy to get in our own little bubble, thinking we are one way, dreaming up noble ideas about our character, and thinking highly of ourselves. But then, once we are in relationship with others, especially difficult persons or very difficult circumstances, we find out more about ourselves. We discover more about our own character and identity, for good or for ill. Sometimes we are pleasantly surprised by what we learn and can give thanks for new attitudes and habits that have taken hold of us. Other times we realize there is a lot more that we need to work on. Over the years, on occasion, I have confided in one of my close friends saying, "Whew, I am going to have to dig deeper on this one." Anybody else have ever had that experience? For it is not always easy to be kind, to be patient, not to be irritable or resentful or rude, especially when someone is doing a really good job of pushing our buttons or behaving poorly. It is not always easy to love well, especially when we are around unlovable people. But think about the powerful and inspiring. Think about how powerful and inspiring it is when someone is patient and kind with us. It is a game changer. It makes all the difference in the world, especially when it is not deserved. Said another way, it is not always easy to love as Christ loves us, and yet this is what we are called to do. There is that small but powerful word, as. How many times have we behaved in ways that fall short, having dreadful regret over things that we have said or done, and yet God still makes a way with us, being kind and patient, offering new hope and opportunity, bearing with us in our messiness. God does not get irritable or lose patience with us, or at least doesn't stay that way very long. God's love bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is a love that builds up, that binds together in perfect harmony and unity. None of us exist in and of ourselves, being made free to do whatever we wish. We realize the first letter to the Corinthians is a long letter addressing many topics that threaten to tear this community apart. They are not being accountable or responsible with the love and grace that has been entrusted to them. I cannot help but wonder if, like most children, they just want to get it over with, skip the long letter, instead of the lengthy explanation, the sit-down family conference. I know when our children were younger And when a particular decision really mattered, we spent extra time with them so the why was better understood and so that they could make good choices when we were not around. Given what was at stake for this community, the "because I said so" answer is simply not enough. For if they don't understand the larger vision, if they have forgotten about love, then all these issues are just going to keep resurfacing, just in different ways. Paul ends this entire letter saying, "Let all you do be in love, in the character of God's love, who gives his all for you." And so, let us revisit the cross. When the cross is in view for Jesus, he gives his disciples a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. Now, this may sound like what the covenant people have heard all of their life in the center of life. It may sound like love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Old Testament witnesses to this, as does Jesus in all of his many examples of love and service. So yes, there is this, and there is more, because this now has particularity. It is joined to the one who fulfills this Old Testament covenant, the one who gives his life for all, making all things right, creating a new covenant, a new community full of love and service and forgiveness. Let us also revisit where we began. Why, again, is the greatest of these three, faith, hope, and love, why is love the greatest? After all, faith, hope, and love are forever intertwined. These are beautiful gifts of God that make our lives so much better. And Jesus himself calls us to this type of life. Consider, it is love that determines the quality and character of our faith. Faith apart from love could behave in judgmental, prideful, or even competitive ways, ranking who has the most faith. Plus, eventually, our faith will be realized. We will see God face to face. And consider that it is love that shapes the type of hope that we have. It gives hope its meaning and goal. It aims hope in the right direction. Plus, eventually, one day, our hope will be fulfilled as we are in the nearer presence of God. We see only in part now, but one day, one day. And the greatest of these is love, because God is love. God's very nature is love, and we are called to love as Christ loves us in practical, tangible ways that bring new life, that help make things right, and bring glory to God. We love and serve and give and forgive as Christ does for us. Amen.